Hi, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com. So information services, resources, activities for people who work across the globe in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and the associated businesses. If you go to medcomsnetworking.com, you'll find lots of information, specifically the associated websites. Look at Network Pharma TV. You'll find hundreds of videos on all sorts of manner of topics around medcoms. And specifically, we do quite a lot in terms of trying to provide information for people who want to join medcoms, maybe as a medical writer or an account manager or whatever. There's lots of different roles in medcoms. You'll find lots of information at firstmedcomsjob.com, careers guides, articles, videos, careers events, and so on and so forth. Today's webinar is under that umbrella of sort of First Medcom's job. We're talking to people who want to come into the business, and specifically maybe the medics amongst you who want to join the industry. And absolutely delighted that we've got three of the team from Amiculum. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves in a moment. And then we're going to have just an open panel discussion talking about medcoms, the role of medics, and particularly what I'm trying to get at is, you know, how useful, how, you know, what have you done with your medical degree? How has that worked in your favor within the role that you are in with within medcoms? We have an audience today from across the world, which is great. I'd encourage the audience to chip in with their questions and observations, and we'll weave that into the conversation. So without further ado, Anna, I'm going to ask you, first of all, just to spend a couple of minutes just telling us who you are.
Hi, my name is Ana Cerrato. I am a medical writer for Amiculum USA. I studied medicine in Spain. I'm Spanish. And I started working in medcoms straight out of med school. So I didn't actually work as a practitioner beyond my internship. And I live and work in Kentucky, although this job allows me for a lot of flexibility, so I move a lot around.
Oh, let's get off mute. Sorry, that's a classic. Okay, so thanks, Anna. So we're going to go into a little bit more detail as to how you come into medcoms, what you're doing. So, but I just want for the moment to just get a handle on where you all are. So thank you very much for calling in from the States there. Jenny, we went to you next. So we're going to go to you next. Just tell us again, where are you? Who are you?
Hi, yes, I'm Jenny Thompson, and I'm in the UK, and I also work for Amiculum, specifically with Sequess, which is, you'll hear a bit more about the Amiculum setup, but Sequess is one of the agencies within Amiculum, and we specialise in gene and cell therapies. And I actually was working as a doctor for about 25 years before coming into medcoms, and I've only been a medical writer for a year now. So I'm happy to go into more details about how I got from one to the other in due course.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, thanks. Hannah, same question to you. Let's just start by knowing who you are.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Peter, for hosting the webinar and asking us all to speak. My name is Hannah Wills, and I graduated from Edinburgh University in 2002 with my MBCHB and an intercalated BSc. I completed my house jobs in the UK and then various SHO jobs in the UK, Australia and New Zealand, but then I switched to work as a medical writer. I've been in medcoms now for 17 years, and currently I'm the editorial lead at 7.4, which is one of the Amiculum agencies.
Excellent. Okay, so span of experience there in medcoms and prior to, which we'll go into a bit more detail in a moment. Hannah, I'd just like you to set the scene to begin with just by telling us a little bit more about Amiculum, because not everybody will know the organisation or how it's set up. So just paint the picture, talk to us about the organisation.
So Amiculum is an independently owned healthcare consulting and communications business. It was set up just over 20 years ago in 2001, and we now have 11 agencies within Amiculum, including 7.4, who I work for, and Sequess, who Jenny works for. We also have regional teams in the USA, Asia, and the Middle East. We are in total just over 350 people now. We have offices across the UK, so Oxford, where I work, London, Manchester, Bollington, Glasgow, and Dundee. We also have offices in Dubai, Singapore, China, New Zealand, USA. So it's a global company. Just to give you an idea of how it works, each agency within Amiculum has a slightly different focus or area of expertise. So as Jenny just mentioned, her agency Sequoias focuses on genetically informed healthcare. My agency 7.4 is, it offers full service med comms, but we have a special interest in creative design work and data visualization.
Okay, and just sorry, and just following that, in the States, Amiculum USA, yeah, it's just titled that, isn't it? And you're a full service med comms agency in the US, basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay. US team has in depth knowledge of the local, the US market and the regulatory environment over there, so they can add that on top of all the other services that Amiculum can offer.
Okay, cool. Okay, so look, what we're interested in is the personal journeys. Let's go into a bit more depth here. And I'm going to start with you, Hannah, and go backwards at the moment. Yeah, so that was quite a little trip you did around the world to begin with.
Yeah.
Just give us a little bit more of a sense of the pre-medcoms life, as it were.
So, yes, as I said, I studied in Edinburgh. I did my house jobs, as they were then, in Scotland. And then I did various standalone 6-month SHO posts, which I organised myself in various clinical specialties. My main interest and what I did most of was obstetrics and gynaecology. That was my main interest. But I also did 6-month posts in emergency medicine and gastro medicine. And yeah, I worked in the UK, Australia and New Zealand. And it was a great opportunity to travel. And it was fab. And I actually really enjoyed all of my clinical jobs, really, really did. I just couldn't settle on one specialty that I could see myself doing for the rest of my working life. And I also had this kind of nagging sense of missing real proper science. I'd had a little glimpse of it. During my intercalated BSc year, the chance to really drill down, focus on science, hone critical appraisal skills. I was able to write up a small research project. I really enjoyed all of that. So I was kind of thinking maybe I'll try something other than medicine. I was acutely aware that in very much in contrast to all of my peers, I really got a good sense of satisfaction from writing up a really great discharge summary letter. So I thought maybe writing, don't know. And then I just stumbled on a short-term job writing clinical summary articles for GPs. I got the job and I absolutely loved it. And I was actually quite amazed that I could make a career out of learning and then writing about interesting things. So I then did a little bit of digging into longer term, related but longer term career options. And then I applied for a trainee medical writer role at a medcoms agency and just went from there.
Okay, so I'm correct me if I get any of this wrong, because it's hard for me to keep up, but you've been in medcoms about 17 years, I think it was, you said now. So you've been quite a while, and your experience in clinical medicine is quite a long time ago, basically. But you said a number of things in there, which I find quite interesting in terms of why you would make the move that you made. So let's just hold those thoughts. Jenny, you're much newer into medcoms.
Yes.
Just remind us how long you've been in, because and how long ago you were working clinical medicine.
Yeah, so I qualified quite a long time ago now, so back in 94, and then like Hannah, did various junior doctor jobs. I actually always knew that I wanted to go into genetics ultimately, so during my medical training I did an intercalated BSc in genetics. And so when I did my junior doctor jobs, I geared those around what would be useful for genetics. So I did adult and paediatric medicine for about 3 or 4 years working in hospitals, and then went into my clinical genetics training. And then during that time, I also did 2 years in research, so working in a molecular lab. And that was great. And I absolutely loved the research and, like Hannah, loved the science. And it was probably out of all my jobs during my medical career that was the absolute one for me. I then carried on finishing my clinical training in clinical genetics as a registrar, and then became an NHS hospital consultant and worked as a consultant for over 10 years. And so that was sort of just before COVID. And then sort of over a while, I'd been thinking that I wanted to kind of have a change. It was more a change from working in the NHS rather than a change of working in genetics. This is going to sound a bit random, but for a few different reasons, I decided to leave my job and I started a master's in diabetes. So very different to rare genetic diseases, going to a much more common one. And I tried to get into or look for jobs in diabetes after I'd finished my master's. But I wasn't really, because I didn't want to be a diabetologist. I didn't want to go back into medical training to do that. But every time I researched for jobs in diabetes, up kept popping medical writer. And I kind of parked that to one side because I didn't know what that was. And then eventually I thought, no, I'm going to have to look into this. Did quite a bit of research. And in fact, ended up watching quite a few of your webinars, I have to say, which were really, really helpful. And one of those webinars was by Amiculum on their work in rare genetic diseases and gene therapies. And what they said completely resonated with the clinical work that I'd done and the genetics. And I just thought, oh, this is it. This is what I've been waiting to hear. So actually, I contacted the team straight after the webinar, and that was a year ago. And so here I am now.
I love hearing these personal journeys and sort of some of the thought process that goes on, and I think it must be fascinating for other people just to be listening to you. But just to flag the fact that, you know, you've got a background in genetics, you're interested in genetics, and you ended up in a specialist agency which is using that specialist knowledge. And I'm just flagging that because that isn't always the way it works, and that's not necessarily the way it should work. You know, a lot of people come in, and I talk much more with PhDs, postdocs than medics, or they've got a specialist interest in a very particular sort of, you know, something or other. And the Medcoms agency doesn't take them on because of that specialist interest.
Yeah.
It takes them on because of all their transferable skills and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't tend to end up working in the area that you're working in. But it's just interesting listening to you and hearing the sort of the pathway you followed, albeit with a little bit of a diversion to diabetes.
But I still use that. But actually also to say that although I'm working in an agency that specializes in gene and cell therapies, we still do a lot of non-genetic, non-gene therapy stuff. So I'm working in gene therapy areas sort of across the board, really, which is really nice as well, because it's nice not just to focus on one thing.
Which is one of the things people say about Medcoms, is there's quite a lot of variety sort of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Look, definitely, so some good stuff in there. As I said, I really quite enjoy these stories. So Anna, tell us a little bit more about your story, the sort of pre-Medcoms and into Medcoms bit.
Well, I started med school and I was like doing odd jobs, trying to pay for med school. And I ended up working as a receptionist in a scientific book publisher randomly. But they had a need for some medical translation at that point, and they knew I was studying medicine, so that was my first job as a freelancer, and I honestly was hooked. I think what Hannah said about feeling closer to the science, learning new things every time, being at the, you know, at like very, very close to discoveries and new research was very appealing to me. And when I finished my internship, I decided that I didn't want to move into a specialty and do a residency. And I kept working as a freelancer for 7 years, traveling a lot, which is something that is really nice about this kind of job. It allows you to work remotely a lot of the time. And eventually, a couple of years ago, I moved a little bit longer than that. Oh man, it's been 4 years now. But anyways, I moved to the States and decided that I wanted to try my hand at the agency life. I worked for a year in another agency, and less 4 months ago, I moved into Amiculum, and I'm really happy here now.
Okay. So the point partly of today's discussion is to specifically look at the fact that you've got medical degrees. Okay. So let's just put one thing out there, which is worth it, I think. A lot of people look at medical writing, medcoms, and assume that we're all medics, basically, because you have to be a medic in order to talk about medicine, sort of thing. And that's a long way from the truth. Most people in medcoms aren't medics. You know, a lot of them are very highly qualified scientists, maybe the MSc, PhD, postdocs, and all the rest of it. But you are a little unusual. I don't actually know how many medics there are in medcoms, but I don't meet that many of you. And you know, one of the things that I think is worth saying is that there's lots of room for more sort of thing, and hopefully more people will sort of follow up after a discussion like this. But what I'm interested in, who should we start with? Let's go with, I don't know, I'm going to randomly jump around, Jenny. What I'm interested in is I suppose you've touched on it already, but just go a little bit further. What appealed to you about medcoms? What did you sit there and think, that's the direction I want to go in?
Yeah, so I think firstly, it's a science. And I guess having gone into clinical genetics, that was a very kind of molecular heavy hospital specialty, I guess. And so I absolutely love the science. And in medcoms, it's so interesting. It's really varied and it's cutting edge. As I mentioned before, my research job that I did was back some time ago now, was probably my favorite job in my kind of medical career, so to speak. And then also as well with medcoms, you can still have that and still use your skills with healthcare professionals and patients. You still have that contact, you still have that. So I love the fact that I can use the science, but also are still connecting with healthcare professionals and patients. And the other thing for me was, like Hannah and Anna, really enjoyed the writing side and creating pieces for presentations, and the slightly kind of, I guess, for want of a better word, the nerdy side of wanting things to look nice, everything to be lined up, and so it was all those things sort of together that for me, that's when I kind of, the penny dropped and thought, you know, for me, then I thought, you know, this is what I want to do and I want to try, and something new to learn about as well. Sort of, I was up for the challenge, up for the change. So that's sort of where I'm coming
and
from.
You're all basically on the writing side. I know I'm using the term loosely here, but you know, as opposed to maybe the client services side or whatever. And you know, so you're employed basically as writers and content developers and so on, rather than as medical advisors. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. So and I think that generally applies to the medics in the industry, although there are some exceptions. But I suppose what is it that you think you bring? And I don't know, Anna, let's start with you. You know, what is it you bring that's a little bit different to other people? I mean, I suppose some of this is a bit obvious, but let's just spell it out. You know, what do you bring as a medical writer with your background that adds to the team that you've got around you?
I think we understand, we have a very good understanding of what doctors need, what medics need, what they look for in materials, how to most effectively communicate the information that we want to transmit to them. I think as a doctor, sometimes, again, as a medic, sorry, but sometimes you look at some materials and it's like, I don't know any specialist that has time to read this. So we need to restructure it in a way that, you know, catches your attention, tells you what you need to know, like top line. And then if they want, they can look further into it. So because I've been there. I know what is useful for a doctor in the hospital. And then on the patient side, I think it's very fulfilling to be able to help patients understand what is going on and with in their bodies when they get a diagnosis that sometimes can be like life-shattering. They have this information that we can curate for them so they can understand a little bit better what is happening to them. And that's not something that you have in the hospital most of the time. You don't have enough time to do it. And I think that need transfers very well into medical writing. You bring that longing of helping them into medical writing, and it helps you, like, I think, write more effective pieces for both medics and patients.
Okay, and I will. We have got a couple of questions coming in, and I would just encourage the audience here today to be sending us some questions and observations, and we can weave this into the conversation. And Hannah, you were nodding away there to what Anna was saying. I mean, bluntly, you've been in medcoms for 17 years, a long time since you were doing clinical medicine, as it were. So again, just talk to me a little bit about how you see your role. How much of your role today is directly sort of, I'm a medic, therefore I know this, as opposed to, well, I was a medic, but I've now, become a medcom specialist. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think so. So I would say that I think initially things that I found useful and I think this is still valid is that during your medical degree you learn a lot about a lot of stuff. So you don't go into the detail, like somebody would if they were doing a PhD, a science PhD. You are like a real expert in one particular area. You're not an expert in anything. I mean, apart from Jenny, who went on and did all of her postgraduate training. But you do have a spattering of most things, knowledge about most therapy areas. So I think when you join a new account, or if you get involved in new business development, or you're trying to, pick up stuff for a therapy area for a pitch, I think it helps you to, do that quite quickly. I think you can get up to speed pretty quickly on a lot of different therapy areas. And that has been helpful for me over the years. I think you still, no matter how long really you've been out of medicine, I think you still have a reasonable understanding of what it's like to work in different healthcare systems, what it's like to be that busy, to have so many different pulls on your time, to be working in multidisciplinary teams, to be working, in a hospital or a clinic, a primary care setting, and then to work within a bigger system. You kind of know how that, what it feels like, and therefore it helps you to understand your audience. I would also say, though, that I think that actually what a lot of HCPs, the skills that they have, and they don't necessarily know they have, is they are generally really good at communicating, staying calm under pressure, juggling priorities, working to deadlines, all of those kinds of soft skills, working in a multidisciplinary team, all of those things are so relevant to working in medcoms, and people don't always appreciate that they have those skills that they've really worked on over the years that they've been working as a healthcare professional.
Which gets a little bit of what Amy was asking, in terms of the advantages you're able to portray about yourself being from medical background. I mean, it's all about transferable skills, isn't it? Yeah. I think you covered there quite a number that are quite so when people are applying for jobs in medcoms or any job sort of thing, think in terms of the transferable skills that you'll be able to bring to the party, as it were. And as a medic, by definition, you've got quite a lot.
I think medics, but also, I've worked in medcoms with medics, and so ex-medics, ex-nurses, physio, pharmacist, all sorts of healthcare professionals, and I think it applies to everybody
across the healthcare. I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, let's and I'm going to throw it back at you, Hannah, because you're probably in the position where you're looking at this sort of thing. Isabella's saying, does a medical degree offer an advantage for medical writing jobs applications? So if you're recruiting medical writers, does a medic somehow automatically just pop out and go, well, they're particularly interesting? Is it like that or is it not like that? You see what I mean?
We would take an application. So I'm involved in recruitment, particularly medical writer recruitment for 7.4 and, with an Imiculum. And yes, it might kind of catch my eye because we've got a common background, but we take everybody's application, as it comes, and you are judged under exactly the same terms as everybody else, regardless of background. So yes, you have all those transferable skills, and I would absolutely make sure that you pull those out in your application. But you will go through exactly the same process as everybody else. People who have come from all kinds of different backgrounds, a lot of our applications come from people who've been in academia before, either straight out of an undergraduate degree, a master's or a PhD. And everybody brings different things.
I think that's an important point to make, isn't it? And in different conversations, different sorts of people will raise, do I get some sort of fast track because I'm a postdoc with 30 publications behind me or something like that? No, basically. So everyone's got their own strengths and weaknesses. They've all got to sell themselves. And as a rule, nothing's absolute, but as a rule, people coming into this business will start at the beginning. You came in, whether you're a medic or whether you're a postdoc with X years, you're going to come in essentially as a trainee medical writer. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yes, I think so. In my experience, everybody who switches from whatever they're doing before, moves into medcom, comes in an entry level role because there is so much to learn.
Exactly. I mean, nothing's absolute. There are exceptions, but I think it's an important message to get out there. People should sort of, it's a specialist business. You have to learn the business. Having said that, one thing I always say to people is your progress through, through the ranks, as it were, can be very quick. If you've got the experience, the transfers, all the rest of it, pick it up and run with it, and you can move quite quickly. This isn't a sort of situation where you come in at a level and wait for the person above you to die before you step up a level, sort of thing. Yeah, it's very much more down to you and your ability and your and the effort you put in, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think also that's quite different to like life as a medic or a nurse or a physio. Your progression is, a lot of it is to do with time served, whereas that's not the case in medcoms. It's exactly. Very much based on your contribution, the responsibility that you're taking. It's based on your progress, and like you just said, talented people can progress really quickly in medcoms.
Jen, I'm going to bring you in. Let's just touch on this briefly, but you've come in recently, recently. What was the process? Interview, medical writing tests, and so on, I guess. Just talk us through quickly that sort of process.
Yeah, so I started with, it was billed as an informal chat, but it felt like an interview, really. And then after that, I had a writing test. And that took a couple of weeks. And then I had another interview after that as well.
Can I interrupt? Can you just give me a sense of what the writing test was?
Yes.
I know they all vary, but just give me a sense of what you did.
So I was sent a publication, and I was asked to use that to devise, I think it was 10 slides of a PowerPoint presentation. It was actually to be a training module for a client to be used internally to train, I think it was medical service liaison groups, I think. So that was the audience, and it had to be done so that it was going to be read by them as a presentation rather than a spoken presentation.
Okay. But the output, as it were, was what, a set of PowerPoint slides?
I think 10 slides it was.
Okay. And so interview, as it were, writing test, another interview.
Yeah.
And into the job, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to be clever here. One of the points I try to make to people actually is the process is relatively straightforward to get into medcoms. It's very competitive, and there's lots of people trying to get in, and it can feel quite difficult. But the process is relatively straightforward. You're not usually faced by an employer that's going to give you tricks and tricky tests and play games with you like we sometimes hear about in other industries. Yeah. This one's relatively straightforward.
Yeah, it was very
transparent. Certainly if you go into medical,
Very transparent. And when I was sent the the writing test, it was okay to ask questions and to clarify exactly what was wanted. And
Right.
I think that I would say that definitely ask those questions if you're not sure before you start, or as you're doing it. And don't worry about asking. Don't worry about asking, because in the job, that's what you would do if you were given a brief for a project. You don't understand it, you ask a question. So ask
again. That's I concur with that. I mean, and I sort of emphasize when I say that to somebody that what I don't mean is that agencies are testing you by not giving you the information to see if you'll come back to them. It's just not the way the game's played. But there's nothing wrong in going back and saying, I'm not quite sure about this, am I understanding it correctly? And as you say, basically that's what you're going to do when you get into the job anyway. Amy's just asking, do all agencies set writing tests? Basically, very unlikely you'll get a medical writing job without a medical writing test. There are other roles where there are maybe some different sorts of tests and so on. But the medical writing job, you'll get a medical writing test. But the sort of test you get will vary quite a lot.
I was just going to say that actually the assessment of your writing starts with your cover letter and your CV rather than the test. So don't forget that.
Really important, and I was going to draw that out, to be honest. And there's the whole thing that we always talk about, attention to detail throughout the whole process. Don't underestimate the importance. And I always also laugh slightly and talk flippantly about the fact that, you know, I deal with a lot of people in med comms, and if you saw some of the emails that I get, you'd think, well, there's no attention to detail whatsoever. But when you're coming into the job, that's what they're looking for. And if you write to me and go, dear Fred, I'm interested in a job with you doing this, I'm going to go, well, you know, you just got it wrong from the start, you know, and you throw the CV straight out very, very quickly. But, you know, grammatical stuff, typos, you know, the whole thing from the email that you send in, the covering letter, the CV, it's all got to sort of match up. Yeah. It's really important that people understand that, because that's what this business is about in the end, is attention to detail and accuracy and those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just going to, oh, go on, Hannah. You've got it wrong. I just want to add a bit more out of information out of Hannah. Go on.
I would just say, because for the people on the line, that I keep your CV short, because like personally, one page, but I'd say 2 pages maximum. In medicine, it's in many countries anyway, it's quite expected that you provide a very long CV with, you know, quite an exhaustive list of publications and jobs. That isn't the case in other industries, and particularly in ours, where one of the main skills is creating concise content and writing to your audience, being able to pull out, you know, the key points that you want people to really read. Like I said, that starts with your cover letter and your CV.
Exactly. Okay. Someone anonymous has just said, is the CV read by humans? In an agency like a Mecum, I'm imagining you look at it properly, yeah? It's a simple answer to that. Okay. Anna, I'm going to bring you in. I should emphasize Anna as opposed to Hannah, because we're getting confused with her. But Anna, I was going to bring you in. Let's get you talking a little bit. There's a couple of questions in. Amy, for instance, is asking, skills or tasks that medical HCP applicants struggle with when first starting out in medical writing. And someone else has asked, how can we improve our writing skills in order to move into Medcom? So just talk around that a little bit, Anna. Can you remember?
Can you please repeat the first question?
What might you have struggled with? I guess the specific question in terms of medical HCP type applicants. What are the struggles you might face as you come into Medcoms, do you think?
Communication. Medcoms is about communication, and I think as doctors we are sometimes trained to work on our own very independently and not ask questions or not try to bounce ideas off of other people. I think learning that is a very, very important skill to have in medcoms. It's perfectly fine to go and ask, you know, the person that is above you in the line, or just a co-writer, a co-worker, you know, I'm having issues with this thing that I want to write. Do you mind if I bounce a few ideas off you? And that's something that it's part of the beauty of the job. And I think personally, I was not trained to work like that in med school. Sometimes we may get very attached to what we think is important as clinically important, and we have to shift the perspective and understand what is important for our client, whether it's like a pharmaceutical company or organization. Their objectives may be different than what we think is the most important thing as doctors, and we have to be very mindful of that. We are not clinicians, and we have to shift our perspective a little bit. That was about like the first question. And the second one, I am not a native English speaker. I started writing in Spanish, actually, and working as a translator. Read as much as you can, rewrite what you read, and make sure to stay updated in all the guidelines. AMA is a good place to start. AMA membership I found very useful, but you have to use it. At the end, is the effort you put into it is what is gonna give back to you. There's no tricks that work for everyone, but definitely try everything you can.
Okay. And I'm going to ask a provocative question, and I'd be interested whether you've all got an opinion on this. And if Sophie's sort of touching on it in her question, as medics, you know, leaving medicine and going into industry, any sort of conflicts either for yourself or for the people around you? Anybody sort of go, ooh, you know, what are you doing? I don't know. Okay. And I'm going to ask each of you, Anna, start with Anna. How do you feel that transition went?
Okay. My parents still ask me, when are you going to work as a doctor? up to this date, almost 10 years after I started this, in this path, my parents are still expecting me to go back to the hospital. Like, they think this is something that I decided to do for a while, but I will eventually be in a hospital. Most people don't really know what MedComms is about. Like, it's exploding now, but whenever I tell people, yeah, I'm a medical writer, it's like, so what do you do? Do you write books about medicine? It's like, no, that's not what I do. I'm a technical writer. And there's always this group of people that for some reason believe that doctors must have some kind of like very elevated goal to just solve humankind problems. And they think that it's not a good choice to not work with patients. I am very happy with my decisions. I think that as people and professionals, we do have to prioritize our well-being. And for me, this is my path. So, yeah.
Okay. Jenny, did you get any kickback? I mean, do you shy away from the fact that you're basically working with the pharmaceutical industry?
No, I think because partly I had a gap from working in the NHS. I had a 2 or 3 year gap before then starting in MedComms. So it wasn't straight from NHS public sector into the private sector. I guess you question yourself, is this really the right thing? I think because there's so many challenges working in somewhere like the NHS at the moment that actually moving into the private sector, to be honest, has been quite a revelation. Really, really enjoying it. And there's lots of great things about it. And I've learned so much in the last year. I mean, it has been really interesting. So I guess my medical career that I left that in 2019. So that is really, you know, it's feeling like it's quite a while ago now. I will also just go back, if it's okay, to the previous question about improving writing skills. I did a couple of things. Before I applied for a job, I did use my diabetes in the end, and I worked for charity voluntarily, Diabetes UK. And I asked if I could work in their research comms department. And so I did some work with them writing lay summaries on research that they were funding them. And those summaries were then going to be put onto their website. And that was really good because they gave me some training as part of that. So that was a really useful way of improving my skills. I also did a work experience scheme for 3 months with Aspiration, which I learned about again on one of your webinars.
Right, okay.
And that allowed me to delve into the world of MedComms and get a bit of a flavor. So that again was a really useful thing. And then I also did a couple of MOOCs, these massive online courses on science communications, and that was they were quite good and just gave a bit more info about, you know, targeting how to know what the motivations of your audience are, presentation skills and various things. So I did those sort of things to try and improve my CV really and improve my experience, but also to really see, is this what I wanted to do? So those things helped cement for me, you know, this is what I now want to do by doing that experience. So I just thought I'd add that in there because
No, thank you very much. Thank you. But Hannah, I'd like to finish with you. We are going to wrap up in a minute or two. We'll have to. But I'd just be interested in that, in the answer to that question as well, from your point of view. Any conflict in terms of moving from clinical medicine to an industry type position?
I think I was aware of it when I first switched, and I was maybe a little bit wary, maybe, but you know, as soon as I sort of settled in and got to grips with how things worked, I was quite reassured that there's so many rules and there's so much compliance around what you can do and how, you know, pharma can work. And I was quite surprised by how strict it was as an environment to work in, and actually that's quite reassuring when you're coming from clinical medicine, where pharma is sometimes seen as, you know, well, maybe not somewhere you want to go and work.
Well, exactly. So I mean we might as well face up to it. I mean, those are the sorts of questions that people must be asking themselves when they're looking at these sorts of roles. Just tomorrow's asked a question, and I'd just like, Hannah, I'm going to ask you to finish on this one. Tamara's saying, you know, what can you recommend to help stand out, right? You know, how do you build a portfolio? Are blogs and social media valuable pieces of writing stuff? You, as you said, you're involved in recruiting writers. Just have you got a couple of tips and a comment on tomorrow's question there in terms of what might help them stand out? And specifically, is a blog site a useful bit of writing to show that they can write, sort of thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So we are recruiting for, if you're applying for an entry-level writer role, then it's absolutely a training role. We do not expect any previous experience along those lines. We don't expect internships or anything. We will train you. But to stand out, I think it's, like I said before, you know, just really submit a great, great cover letter and a CV, a really good test. That's what it's about. If you have some experience of writing before, then it can help you to your application to stand out. And that can be anything. It can be contributing to some kind of student magazine, or creating some sort of patient information leaflet, or writing a blog. It doesn't matter what it is. It just shows that you've got an interest and you've been trying to get some experience of doing that in different ways before. That does help you to stand out, but it's not needed.
Okay, I think that's a really important point in there. You're not, and people get confused about this. You know, so I haven't got any medical writing experience. How do I get a job as a medical writer? Well, you know, you apply for an entry level job and they train you. That's the important starting point. The point I always say about the social media stuff is, you know, you can write about whatever you like, rock climbing or whatever it is you're doing. That's not a problem. It can be good, sensible demonstration of ability to communicate, write, and so on. What you want to be a little bit careful of is the blog that you wrote the morning after the university party the night before, and you thought it was very funny at the time. But yeah, remember your social media, your online footprint is out there, and you guys will be having a look at that sort of thing. So it's just always worth having a think about that from that point of view as well. I think we probably, there's a couple of questions coming in, but those of you in the audience, we're here for another 10 minutes or so, we'll carry on and we'll pick up some of those questions specifically. But I think we covered a lot of ground there. I think for the purposes of today, I'm going to wrap up, but I make a very clear point here that, you know, anybody watching this, members of the audience or watching the video later, please, you know, make contact with you guys via LinkedIn. You're all very happy to hear from everybody, yeah? So please, LinkedIn is the easy way of doing that, yeah? Okay, so I'm going to say a huge thank you to you, huge thanks to the audience, and say to the audience, don't rush off. We've got a few minutes left. But thank you very much for coming on board. And can we all just give, if anyone's interested in what I'm doing, medcomsnetworking.com, come and look at firstmedcomsjob.com if you're interested in working in the industry and so on. We're all very happy to talk to anybody who's interested. So on that note, I'm going to ask everyone to give us a little wave and I'm going to stop recording. Bye-bye.